Good morning. Certainly, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to speak before you all this morning and thankful for the elders to give me this opportunity, and certainly thankful for the friendship that I have with Tony that opens a lot of opportunities for us to share the gospel with each other, to sharpen each other, but to certainly be encouraged to send the message of Jesus far and wide anytime that we can. And boy, I cannot be more excited to see Jeff and Linda here this morning. To recognize the reason you're here this morning, and I may be a little presumptuous in this, but the reason you're here this morning is because you fervently love God. And that's more than saying, that's more than something you're comfortable with. It's something that's woven into the person that you are. I could go as far as say it's a great big part of your identity of yourself, isn't it? And it's something to know the trials that we go through from time to time, but yet in the midst of all those trials, we still settle in at the end of every day, thankful for what God has given us. Being able in the midst of those weaknesses and those trials, possibly those temptations, and in the midst of the uncertain, still find peace, find strength to see the day through. The world trusts their health, trusts their bank account, trusts their job. But a true child of God can have all of that ripped from them, sometimes most violently, but still take a deep breath and be stable. And that is exemplified in the lives of faithful Christians. And I believe an excellent example for us this morning is the Beesons. So I'm very grateful that the trials that you all have suffered have drawn you closer to the Lord. But in that behavior, that's different, right? The title of our lesson this morning, and I hope that what we have to say this morning is of some benefit to you, because I do think that it is helpful if this is something you regularly do, to remind us, kind of the reinforcement of why we do what we do and how we do it. But yet, if you realize that, you know, you've not become a child of God yet, you're not really sure what all that involves, and you really appreciate and enjoy your status quo and your routines, it may give you something to think about. But also, if you're a new child of God and you realize you've given your life over to Christ, but you take a survey and you realize, well, my life really hasn't changed that much, maybe this is an opportunity to look over and to review some opportunity and some motivation that might cause you to change. So I'd like to read some verses for you this morning. You can follow along. I've put some of them on the slides for help. But yet, I want to kind of help establish what I want to appeal with you this morning in God's Word. And we go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll start here in verse 1. We'll read through 12. And it says here in verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming us unto as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God as precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has made, he has made chief of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, you may not regularly explain to other people that this is the kind of person you believe yourself to be. But can you appreciate and mark this down if you want to read this again this afternoon in your studies? Look at what God considers you to be as a different person. Now, we oftentimes kind of really push this one verse as a narrative. The chosen generation, the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And we talk about that being different and why it's important. Our young people, Jamie, do we really have to be different? Yes. Yes, you do. And what's really difficult sometimes is to find the courage. To find the courage to be different. And what our young people need to see more than anything is adults that have the courage to be different, so that they then have the confidence and the courage to be different themselves. It is amazing the amount of power that comes with conformity. And that's just something that we should want to try to break away from when we realize we've been conformed to those things that are not pleasing to God. And you think about the majority of our lives, we're taught to kind of identify those things that are different. I go all the way back to the Sesame Street back when I was a kid, and I can't remember the song, and I won't sing it for you. There's the TV screen divided into four sections. One of these things is different. One of these things just doesn't belong. And so it kind of works against us sometimes when we're trying to work for unity, that we try to pick out everybody that's doing things a little bit different. But yet, in that same vein, if you will, we are able to recognize that which is not like everything else. So if you have the strength and the courage, you have the wisdom and the knowledge of what God has called you to, then you would be living a different life. And almost by accident, by being different, you draw attention to the difference. Notice I didn't say draw attention to yourself. Now that's what we get afraid of. That's what we fear, is that, well, they're going to look at me differently. They're going to laugh at me. That we don't have to get too creative with the fears of being singled out. Some folks have feared that from the time they were young. Some of you are still quite young and may still be fearing that. But the Lord asks us to be the light. The Lord asks us that, you know, explains to us that a city set on a hill cannot be hid. And that when we're working, and that when we're being different, we realize, or we hope, that it is Christ that they're able to see by us being different. We don't want to be different for the sake of people recognizing us. We probably can all jokingly say at different times somebody's thought we were pretty different. And if you haven't, that's great. I've received that comment plenty. I don't want to be different for the novelty of being different. I want to be different because there's purpose in it. I want you to be different because of the purpose that you can find in being different. I want you to be motivated by the fact that you know, if you're in this building, it's a safe bet, you know that the majority of your life will be spent after this physical one is gone. And it's those brushes with cancer and illness and pandemic, we begin to think a little bit more about how brief this life is. It doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar to figure out why Jesus said it's better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting. Right? We're made stronger, we're made wiser when we come face to face with our own mortality. And if it is that we know that we're only here for just a little while, that we hope to get busy being different. So it's one thing, and I use this phrase often. I hope I haven't worn it out already. I haven't spoken here much. But the idea of this is more than an academic understanding. It's not good enough to sit there and say, Jamie, yes, I know that God asks us to be different. He asks us to be a peculiar people. He asks us to be a holy nation. He asks us to do all those things. You could probably reiterate to me the scriptures better than I can reiterate to you. But that academic exercise will not land us where we hope to land on the day of visitation, if you will, on the day of judgment. It's not he that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father. So I'm hoping that I'm not distracted by thinking that I'm going to go up there in that day of judgment, whatever that might look like, and God is going to be impressed that I can recite all kinds of scripture. That I can tell him all of the great stories of old. That I can recount with every detail all the teachings of Jesus. No, I just hope that I've lived a life that reflects that I understood what he was telling me. That I'm making decisions in my life, no matter how difficult they might be against the push of the world, that he'll be able to say, I've noticed. I've watched you. Since the day you've become one of mine, you've been living differently. And I genuinely hope that that is what he sees in all of us on that great day. But I believe that in order for us to live differently, we have to take a very, very serious view of the Scriptures and of how we live our lives. So I ask you now to turn to 2 Timothy, if you would. Chapter 3 is where we're going next. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. This is, of course, Paul talking to Timothy here. And persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And I that from a child has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And when we embrace the reality that what we're given by way of instruction is indeed the Word of God, we'll behave differently. See, I can take you to all kinds of really good books I've read in my life, and I've pulled out amazingly smart things, very intellectual application about the benefit of how to live certain ways and make certain decisions and manage people in a certain way for the greatest outcomes. Well, I can share all of that with you. But I do that with a certain level of commitment because I understand that's the intellect of man. And, you know, pretty much, you know, you can use it or not use it. I don't really care either way. If you do, let me know how it worked for you. You know, we might even go as far to say, you know, there's something that my dad told me or that my granddad told me that is held true to this day. And you say that with a pause. You say that with emphasis. You say that with a tug at your heart because you remember the kind of man or the woman that that person was that made that influence on you. But yet we read the scriptures and we're told what to do. It's just kind of like another one of those books. How much of an impact when you read the gospel does it have on you? Does it cause you to pause? Does it cause you to reminisce about the cost that was paid by Jesus' blood on the cross? Does it tug at your heart like it does when you think of your dad or your mom or your grandma or your grandpa? I'm not taking anything away from those people. I'm sure they're great people. Mine were. But they could never do for me what God has. They could never do for me what Christ and His death on the cross has done. And so how is it that we look at life? How is it that we live differently in light of the instruction that we find in God's Word? I hope it's a difference that brings us to a tremendous amount of commitment. And playing on this same theme of academically understand versus actually investing in it is this idea between interest and commitment. You know, I'm fascinated by a lot of things. I love learning about stuff I don't know about. I'm amazed. I'm easily amazed by things in this engineering world and the natural wonders of the world and the dynamics of people. I love learning. Now, unfortunately, with learning comes sometimes a tremendous disappointment because of some of the things you come to know. Some of the behaviors that people have. Some of the wickedness and evil that we're predisposed to do to each other. And it's a sad thing. But you know, you also turn your interest toward something like the gospel and you realize you can invest your whole heart in it. You can put all of your eggs in that basket. And so it's with that level of commitment that I hope that we look at these things. But, you know, we can, you know, use a lot of silly little illustrations to talk about, you know, there's a lot of things I'm interested in. And you can tell whether or not I'm committed to them. David Ramsey is a kind of a financial advisor, kind of a coach. He's got a kind of a religious spin to him. I appreciate a lot of what he says and his philosophy about managing money. And he tells you, you know, I may not know you from Adam, but give me 5 minutes with your checkbook and I'll know an awful lot about you, right? Because how we spend our money, I wish this wasn't true, but money makes people different. Like I can have a great friendship with someone, a relationship with someone. You involve money into that equation and all of a sudden, sometimes people act differently. And that sometimes show you where their interests and their commitments lie. But yet this is something that we need to be committed to. We need to be embracing the idea of living differently and understanding what it is that we have to invest in, and it's so different. It is so very different. The Word of God is different. The pandemic has caused us to do everything different. This isn't a time where we're so set in every regimen we can't think about changing things. Now is the time. Nobody likes change, but this has changed almost everything for us. But if it's done anything, I hope, for every single one of us, I hope that when we realize that we're sitting here farther than we want to be sitting, we've moved tape 15 times, we've cleaned songbooks, we're taking communion out of a plastic cup, we're wearing a mask, it's fogging our glasses, but God is still God. Christ is still Christ. The Bible is still the Bible. All of the things that matter are exactly the same. Do you hear me? All the things that matter are still able to be trusted, to put all of your effort in. They have not changed. And we know because we appreciate the fact that we are looking at and reading and observing and absorbing the living Word of God. And in any darkness, any illustration you want to use, this idea in Psalms 119, the Word is the lamp unto my feet. I don't need to give you any better illustration than that. I've moved through the woods at a very fast speed with no light. You know, that equation lasts for a while and then you will hit something. It's how you deal with what you've hit in the night with no light. But we understand the safety, the security that comes when we recognize this Word as that light. And when we do that, it will certainly change how we live in the world. I've got a few verses here and a few slides. I'll try to move quickly through. But it changes how we see things. You know, I won't spend a lot of time on that because I know you guys have really been working on the 2020 theme, which I think is great. It'll change how we plan our lives. It'll change how we live. It'll change how we react. It'll change so many things. And so we're going to talk about these just briefly, I hope, in each slide. So we're going to look at our lives differently. We're going to see our circumstances differently. And those that are mature in the faith understand this. You've had people in your life that have been overwhelmed by a problem, by a challenge, by a death, a loss of a job. And it seems to just about dismantle them. Maybe you can think back in your own life, times where you felt completely overwhelmed and you didn't see the way out or the way forward. You just weren't sure what to do next. But those that invest in the Word of God and that live differently by it will remember verses like Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And if you don't have this marked in your Bibles, please mark it in your Bibles. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." We know that we're made in His image, but so many times we make the mistake of thinking that God thinks like we think. Yes, we want to relate to God. We want to pour our heart out to Him. We want to connect to Him and attach to Him in ways that we can barely imagine. But I think we make a grave mistake when we think He's just like us. He has made us like Him. But He is so much a greater version than we. "Neither are my ways your ways," He continues, saith the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts." And so when we embrace that, we try to envision maybe a different goal in our lives. Maybe we define our success in our life a little bit differently. But we realize at least there is a shift that can happen. We can look at things a little differently. We realize that though that thing that we have in our lives that's right in front of us that we may be anxious about and stressing about and worrying about is very real to us. And it consumes us possibly. But we know that we serve a loving God that isn't right here in the middle of that problem. He is so far out and He is able to see the big picture. But at that distance, not losing sight of those struggles that we have. But when we're able to embrace the love of God for us, when we understand what trials will provide in our lives, and we understand how much wisdom we gain by stepping back and not jumping into a reaction or a comment or a criticism, realizing and living a life differently that provides us an opportunity to see things differently. Try to see through those eyes of faith we always talk about. Things begin to look differently. And that's one of the ways that we can change. We plan our lives differently. You know, I remember in high school, I was a little terrified. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I knew I was going to go into the service. I just didn't know what was going to happen after that. And quite frankly, I didn't think I was going to make it out of the service, so it didn't really matter. But I can tell you that as a child of God, you plan differently. You know, I've never been this way, but I have several friends that they can just burn up a day. They can just do nothing. They can just sit back and relax and just watch TV or just, you know, just burn up the day. And for different reasons, I could never do that. But some people are just content with that. You know, they could just sit and just watch Netflix all day, I guess, nowadays is something. We can binge watch a series, right? Or a sitcom. Or they can watch a whole show. These kids have no appreciation for the anticipation. When you're working late on the night of your show so you can get home so you didn't miss that opening couple minutes, right? Because they always gave you all that special information you were looking for the whole other week. But we plan differently. We realize, right, our life is like a vapor. Our time is short. And sure, the younger you are, it feels like the more time that you have. I tell you, young people, one of the most important things you can do in your young life is reach out to someone at the other end of their life. Preferably one that's a Christian, one that's had a brush with death, one that's working through cancer, one that's just lost their spouse. Those aren't fun conversations, but they're incredibly helpful. Because you get to look at life from that perspective. Because when we're young, we don't typically do that. We're really focused on very temporal things, on our education, on the money we're going to make, on who we're going to marry. Now, those are all important things, but they're not more important than looking at God and living our lives in a way that recognizes the value in God calling us to be different. Jesus himself, I think I wrote that one down. John 9:4. John 9:4 is a very easy illustration. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. We've all been touched by death in some way. And we know that death can come to the very young, everyone in the middle and the very old. I hope that when we realize what God has called us to, that we're very willing to live differently in a way that we even plan our lives differently. The way we live out our lives, right? We must understand that we are not an island unto ourselves. How we physically live, how we behave every day is what is going to help people understand whether we're different or not. Go back to our opening comments. We don't want to be different for the sake and the novelty of it, for just the amusement of it, for the attention of it. Jesus says there in Matthew 6, right? When you do all that stuff to be seen by everyone else, you have your reward. It's the reward of men. It's the view of men. It's the praise of men. I want to be liked. I like to have friends. I don't want, you know, when I walk in the room, oh, there's Jamie. Get out of here. I mean, I want people to connect with me. I want to build people up. But I'm not going to sacrifice my relationship with God for that. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we want to fall right in line with what everybody else thinks and what everybody else says and what everybody else is doing because I'm not confident enough to embrace what God has called me to be different. To be the opportunity in maybe one of the darkest moments to be the light. It's commitment. It's an easy way to show. You tell God, I hope, you tell God all the time that you love Him. I want you to sit down tonight in your prayers before you go to bed, and I want you to just think, don't pray, I want you to meditate. Hugely, hugely important thing in the life of a Christian is meditation. I want you to meditate on the practices in your life that show God you love Him. It's a good exercise for all of us. Because it's easy for us to think about all the stuff we do for our friends and family in the Lord's church. But man, look at how much of the New Testament involves Jesus going out to the worst and to the poorest and to the most hard up and the most sick. And those that truly had no way to repay. Look at the amount of time he invested in that. We knew by his example how much he lived differently. You think about all the different capacities you have. I always mess this up, so I have to write it out for like a funeral service. When you tell someone that they were a brother and a father and an uncle and a son and you know all those different relationships. Well, you are that to a lot of people. No one is an island unto themselves, right? You don't operate all by yourself. It's the life that you live. It's the words that you use. It's the focus that you have. It's the priority that you place on living your life that people see. So we just ask ourselves at the end of the day, Lord, what is it that people see in me? Do they see a servant of yours? Or do they see a star employee for the company I work for? Do they know all about my political views? But somehow are a little foggy on where I stand with my faith? Do they know every opinion I have about a mask? But not really sure where I stand on salvation? These are some things we have to ask ourselves. An excellent example of living differently. James 1:22-5. It says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. You understand how many times God tells me, hey, Jamie, don't be deceived. You know what that tells me? That tells me there's a good chance I'm going to be deceived. And we don't like to think that we're wrong. I don't want you to come up and say, Jamie, you're wrong about that. Oh, great. I was hoping I was wrong about that. No, it affects us. It offends us sometimes. Someone come up and tell you you're wrong. Especially depending on how they do it. Think of how many times the Bible says, don't be deceived. Even when it's, and even when we think we figured it out, we got a position of authority, he's warning us even more. Be careful. Be humble. Don't deceive even your own self. For if it be any, if be a hearer of the word and not a doer, like we talked about earlier in Matthew, he's likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, looking in a mirror, right? And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. You ever done that? You ever look at a list? Okay, yeah, I got those three things to do. And you don't get off the step and you're like, wait, let me check that one more time. Did I get that right? You know, because there's so many other things competing for our attention, right? I can tell you I've went with lists and still screwed it up. But I mean, it's possible to do those kind of things, but we have to focus. Focus on the things that are the most important, and the things that God is asking you and I to do in our lives is the most important. But we're not going to be like this person that looks at it, and then as soon as we turn away, right? As soon as we leave the church building, as soon as we get to our job, as soon as we get to our friend's house on Friday night, whatever it is, right? Let's make sure that we still remember who we are. Or as you always used to say for your mom, whose you are. Right? We are children of the King. It says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. That's what we're talking about, living differently. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Lastly, we'll react to the world around us differently. When you think about the scriptures and the power they have to save your soul, you're going to get an uncomfortable feeling. That's why I believe John in Revelation, and I think it was Daniel and Ezekiel, when both those accounts, they talked about eating the Word of God, right? It was sweet in their mouth, but bitter as wormwood in their stomach. I'm not going to tell you this is accurate. I can't find this in the Bible anywhere. But when I read that, my mind immediately goes to the idea of how beautiful and how sweet and how satisfying the Word of God is to the lost soul. How just beautiful that is for us. But then as our understanding deepens, and as our perception widens, and as our wisdom enables us to see the world around us in a little different light, we realize that God is long-suffering, wanting none to perish, but all to come to repentance. But also knowing that wide is the way that leads unto destruction. And there will be many that go in thereat. And when the child of God begins to realize all they have in their life of Christ and the opportunity for an eternal home in heaven, if we're baptized to have our sins washed clean and live a faithful life, when we realize how sweet and beautiful and blissful that can be for the child of God, but then to have to reconcile the idea that there will be so many that by their own choosing will not have that. They will experience a second death. They will experience that flaming fire and the vengeance of God that those that chose not to come to their Savior. But we will absolutely see the world differently. And maybe that'll be the encouragement that we need to have to shine a little brighter as those lights, to live differently, a little more differently than we have been, to live differently in a way that people see. You know, I'll use one of my own illustrations. My grandfather used to say, one of the few things I remember, he died in 88. He said, Jamie, he said, if you ever have to tell someone you're a hard worker, you aren't one. Let that sink in for a minute. I didn't get it fully at the time. I was about 12. If you have to tell someone you're a hard worker, you aren't one. Well, why, Grandpa? Why can't I tell someone I'm a hard worker? Well, we didn't have this discussion. This was going on in my mind. His point, you're a hard worker. People will know. They'll know how hard of a worker you are because your work will stand for itself. People will know the life you live. They'll know the reputation you leave behind. They'll know where you stand. They'll know what you think. And they'll know what they can expect from you and what you'll do when you're pushed against the wall. So then my question is, let's make a spiritual application. Do you have to tell people you're a Christian? You ever told someone, yeah, I'm a Christian? Oh, really? Ugh. I don't want someone to be surprised if I tell them I'm a child of God. But I hope that when we recognize and embrace the power of the gospel, the word of God, and Him calling us to be different, He calls us out, we might say, to be different, that we're very willing to do that. So this last verse in the lesson is yours, 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. We've read it at the beginning of the lesson, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. The promises of the Scripture are great, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, from other faithful, staunch people, Paul included, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I hope this morning that I've given you something to talk about. I hope the Lord's Word has found a way to pierce straight in to your heart. I hope, truly, that your time here this morning, you came and you opened your heart and you opened your mind before you even came in this morning. But I want you to embrace the idea that in the time that all of this stuff is different, we can still be different yet. We're very aware of what the general response and condition is to things like politics and the pandemic, to the point we probably want to vomit. But have we thought about how different the Christian's response to those things can be, should be? I hope this morning has been profitable to you. If you're here this morning and you've not become a child of God, you've really not had a lot of motivation to even want to be different. Quite frankly, being different probably terrifies you. But I promise you, you'll have no opportunity to enjoy the joys of heaven if you don't wash away the sins of your life in the watery grave of baptism. You don't rise and walk every step of the way, trying the best you can to please God. If you want to be different this morning, you want to change something serious in your life, you let us know. I'm sure if there are not provisions here, we can make it happen very quickly to get someone baptized, to wash away your sin. But if you've lived in a way that's really just not been that different, and you're really wondering, would God be able to see? Would God be able to know without a doubt that I am one of His? Then maybe some prayers. Maybe we could pray with you and for you to give you the strength and the courage to be different. If there's any way we can help you at all, please let us know while we stand and sing the hymn that's been so